In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. In your resurrection, O Christ, let heaven and earth rejoice. And the collect for the day, the 13th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who called your church to bear witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you, through him who was lifted up on the cross and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And so we turn to say some words from Romans and Corinthians together. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the feast. Not with the old leaven of corruption and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ, once raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. In dying, he died to sin once for all. In living, he lives to God. See yourselves, therefore, as dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who sleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
And now we have our first reading.
The first reading is taken from the letter of James, chapter 1. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And now we turn to our psalm, Psalm 15, and we begin by saying together, through the greatness of your mercy, I will come into your house. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Through the greatness of your mercy, I will come into your house. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Lord, lead us to our heavenly home by single steps of self-restraint and deeds of righteousness, through the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And our second reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. Now, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commandments of God and are holding on to human traditions.'" Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these things come from within and defile a person." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. One of the joys of summer is having a bit more time, at least in theory. I love being able to sit and read. For some strange reason, I think I read differently in the summer than I do in the winter, indoors or outdoors, on holiday or for work. So it has been great to have a bit of sun this week and to read the newspaper thoroughly and dip into a few books, one of them being Mary Beard's How Do We Look? The Eye of Faith. It is almost impossible to read anything about religion, either in the past or the present or the future, in fiction or in the news, without realizing how complicated it has been for men and women throughout history to seek God and to find the sacred and the holy. In their search for God, human beings have created the most amazing architecture, works of art, written wonderful poetry and prose, and devised extraordinary acts of worship. In their search for God and love for him, human beings have also loved and served one another. But sadly, in the name of God, we have also terrorized, murdered, enslaved, tortured, and destroyed one another. So religion is a complicated thing. Seeking God, trying to please him, has never been easy. It can make us compassionate and creative, or mean and small-minded. It can lead us to seek peace or to wage war. If history teaches us anything, it is that seeking God cannot be done casually or lightly. What we say and do really, really matters. In Mark's Gospel this week, some Pharisees and scribes accused Jesus' disciples of eating with unwashed hands, that is, eating without performing the ritual hand washing expected of observant Jewish people before meals. Before the pandemic, this might have seemed completely and utterly trivial, but I suspect even now with our own COVID hand washing rituals in place, the Pharisees' accusation still seems rather over the top. But in fairness, the Pharisees are asking an important question, a question that asks what authentic religion is. And at this point, it is worth remembering the context in which the Pharisees are asking their question. They, like all first century Jewish people living in Palestine, are an oppressed minority living under Roman occupation. They would be desperate to work out and to know how to keep their faith against opposition. How were they going to keep their faith, maintain their identity and their heritage? How can they best practice their religion surrounded by pagans? Well, one way to do it was and is to create a culture of purity, which clearly defines who is in and who is out, who is clean and who is unclean, who deserves God's favor and love and who definitely doesn't. Once you've got those rules in place, it's easy, and keeping those rules is the way to holiness. It also means that you can refuse to sit with or eat with the great unwashed, the tax collectors, sex workers, and all the other sinners. In keeping the rules and keeping yourself apart from others, you become God's holy people. But this isn't true religion, and Jesus calls it out. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, he rebuked the Pharisees, saying, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Jesus doesn't condemn ritual hand washing. He doesn't say that all religious traditions are wrong. What he calls out is the Pharisees' self-righteousness, their desire to keep to the rules rather than act with compassion, their need to be exclusive rather than inclusive, their keeping of tradition over and above generosity, hospitality, and mercy, and their narrow, narrow definition of purity and piety. Well, it's easy to look down on the Pharisees and to point out their mistakes as if we would never do such things. But honestly, am I any different? Do I behave as if I know it all and have nothing new to learn about the work of the Holy Spirit in the world? Do we cling to spiritual traditions and practices that long ago ceased to be life-giving simply because we've always done things this way and it's too much hassle to change? Don't we sometimes look at each other and decide who's an okay Christian and who isn't, based on things that have nothing to do with Jesus and his unconditional love and generosity? Do we place huge value on the outward things rather than spending time cultivating and developing our hidden life with Jesus Christ deep within us? Do we fail to notice when our hearts become rigid and fixed, cold and complacent? Do we forget that true religion is open-handed, and open-hearted, welcoming, inclusive, seeking to unite and be at one with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we fail to recognize that true religion is love of God and love of neighbor? It doesn't matter what specific forms of our legalism takes. It might be to do with the liturgy or worship or preaching or music styles, politics or women clergy or same-sex relationships or racial justice or economics. The guises vary, but in the end, any sort of legalism freezes us and deadens us towards God and towards our neighbours. It freezes us in time, and then we become irrelevant to the generations that come after us. To use Jesus' chilling words, it causes us to honour God with our lips, but to worship him in vain. So, what's to be done? How do we know if our way of doing religion is life-giving or not? Jesus gives this advice. Notice what comes out of you. What is the fruit of the things we do? Does it lead to hospitality, to inclusion, to unity, to compassion, to welcome, to freedom, and to peace? Does it prepare us to walk with a God who is always doing something new and fresh and creative? When Jesus confronted the Pharisees, he was also offering them an invitation to consider what was really sacred and holy. It's an invitation to go deeper and to go past lip service. It's an invitation to practice what James in his epistle calls true religion, to love the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the outcast, and the enemy, and to trust our surprising, ever-creating God, the God of an ever-living, ever-changing now. May we trust our Heavenly Father God. Amen.
We join together in our intercessions. On this day that the Lord has made, let us pray for the people he has redeemed. Risen and ascended Lord,
hear our prayer.
That we may live as those who believe in the triumph of the cross. Risen and ascended Lord,
hear our prayer.
That all people may receive the good news of Christ's victory. Risen and ascended Lord,
hear our prayer.
That we who have been born into new life in the waters of baptism may know the power of his resurrection. Risen and ascended Lord,
hear our prayer.
That all who suffer pain and anguish may find healing and peace in the wounds of Christ. We pray especially for Jack, Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Richard, Ali, Morris, Ron, and Gordon. Risen and ascended Lord,
hear our prayer.
Let us pause to remember especially in our prayers the people of Afghanistan, those who live in fear, those who suffer constantly, physically, and in respect of their anxieties. We pray for the society there in that land, that it may experience unity and justice, and that their sense that God is the God of compassion and mercy may triumph over every tendency towards revenge and hostility and maltreatment and torture and injustice. risen and ascended Lord.
Hear our prayer.
Lastly, let us commend the world in which Christ rose from the dead to the mercy and protection of God, risen and ascended Lord.
Hear our prayer.
So as our Saviour taught us, we pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May the Father, from whom every family in earth and heaven receives its name, strengthen us with his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Lord, go with us into our everyday lives to honour you in all that we do and say. May our being and doing reflect your love and your grace. And when we next meet, may we recognise with thanks the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, Steph.
For helping. It's great to have people sitting here with me. Thank you, David. Thank you, Anne, is also sitting with me, but over the other side of the road, of not road, room. As I made a mistake about the date at the beginning, you will also probably have worked out that the coffee morning is not at the end of September, but is on Wednesday. And I have booked the outside area of the lighthouse for us to have coffee starting at 10 o'clock. Do please come along if you would like. This is a joint X Valley St. Peter's coffee morning. So if you'd like to see what people look like in real life, then do please come and join us on Wednesday. Lovely to have you with us. Don't feel you've got to stay for the whole time. Just pop and say hello. That would be great. I will be there from 10 o'clock. And a date for your diary in the future. We will be starting a Zoom conference called Bible Study on the 27th of October, which is on a Wednesday. We'll be doing 5 weeks before Advent and 5 weeks after Christmas. And I think we will be looking at the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Anyway, it's lovely to have your company. Enjoy the bank holiday. Enjoy the sunshine. Don't forget to put your meat on. And bless your sun cream. Meat on and sun cream. That's my word of advice for today.
Sorry, good to see you. Bye, John. Bye, everyone. Bye, John. Bye, John. Thank you so much.
It was a good service. Thank you.
Bye. See you next week. Bye. 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 B